You are listening to the podcast of Grace Bible Church Ann Arbor. We are the rescued people of God joining His great restoration project. More information, including sermons in this series, can be found at graceatu.org. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hey everybody, I'm Ty, pastor here in Ann Arbor. And today we're going to be talking about how to navigate the different voices that come at us in our culture. The ancient Greek poem by Homer, called the Odyssey, follows the hero Odysseus, king of Ithaca, as he heads home after the Trojan War. Now, his journey home takes 10 years, and as he heads home, there are all kinds of dangers that both his wife and son at home face, but also that he faces along the way. Some of those dangers include storms or beasts like a cyclops or an encounter with a witch. But perhaps the most famous of all of his encounters is with the song of the sirens. Now, the sirens are these creatures that are sort of like bird humans or something, and they live in this area where they sing songs to try to lure sailors who are coming past their island towards the rocks and ultimately towards their doom. Well, Odysseus has been warned about these sirens, and so he does something very clever. What he does is he makes all of his crewmates, all the guys rowing the boat, he makes them put beeswax in their ears so that as they get close to the sirens, they will not be able to hear those voices. And then he has them tie him tightly to the mast of the ship. Now, Odysseus does not put beeswax in his ears. In fact, he wants to hear what the sirens sound like. So as they get near the island and he is strapped to the mast of the ship, the siren songs begin. And sure enough, Odysseus is immediately drawn to wanting to go there and trying to get his crew to go towards those voices to discover where it's coming from. But his guys can't hear it. They just merrily row away at the oars and they quickly get themselves to safety. It's a famous classic tale, but it does raise a question for us. The question is, why didn't Odysseus just plug his ears? Like, he could have avoided rope burns and emotional drama and yelling at his guys to get them. He could have avoided all of that had he simply not listened to the siren songs in the first place. You know, every once in a while, there are situations where people try to speak to us or say things to us that we know aren't right, and it is possible for us to kind of close our ears to that in a manner of speaking. We don't have to listen to somebody who's heaping abusive kind of words and statements at us. We don't have to listen to that. We don't have to listen to that podcast or read that book or watch that news show. We don't have to. There are times where we can avoid the wrong kinds of voices. But then there are other times where there are certain voices we cannot avoid. We are, in fact, bombarded by voices all the time. Right now, you are hearing my voice. I am sorry, it doesn't have some cool accent or something like that. I apologize. But you're hearing my voice. And as soon as you're done listening to my voice, there will be another voice, whether it's in this video or it's the next YouTube video that pops up that just cues and is ready for you. Or maybe you'll hear a roommate or a child calling for you. Or maybe you'll see an advertisement that says, buy me, buy me, buy me. Or you'll hear some touched up social media photo that says, want me, or your stomach will growl and it will say, feed me. I mean, there will be other voices that come in and try to speak to you and get you to go in a certain direction. One of the most terrifying things about being a parent with kids, especially as they start to get a little bit older, is that we realize we can't always control the voices that they hear. You know, there's this thing that parents do sometimes where they go earmuffs and then they clap their hands over the ears of their kids because they don't want them to hear something. Well, you can't really put earmuffs on a teenager or an adult. In fact, none of us walk around with earmuffs on all the time. We have to figure out how to navigate the voices, to recognize which ones are foolish, drawing us towards the rocks, if you will, and which ones are wise and putting us on a better path. We are in week two of our sermon series on Proverbs called Learning to Live, and we are seeking to grow in wisdom, which we defined last week as understanding plus insight plus resolve. And so we're looking at some writings by a man by the name of King Solomon. He wrote many of the Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament of the Bible, and he also collected a number of sayings from other places that he included in his Proverbs. And so we're looking at him and what he has said to see if we can discern how to tell the difference between the voice of wisdom versus the voice of folly. Now, throughout history, in many different cultures, people groups have sought to figure out what is the wise voice and what is the foolish voice. How should we live? Many different cultures have done this long before Israel put together their book of Proverbs with King Solomon, one of whom was the Egyptians. They had a tradition of collecting sayings of the wise, which brings us to our Bible nerd context moment of the day. There was an Egyptian goddess named Maat, or Maat. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. We have a lovely photo of her here. And Maat was a principle in ancient Egypt that refers to truth and balance and order, harmony, law, morality, justice. And this goddess Maat sort of embodied those characteristics. And so if you wanted to be wise, you needed to, well, listen to her voice. You needed to kind of figure out what she thought you should do and move in that direction. In one hand, she held this symbol of life, and in the other, she had kind of this scepter, this power on her head. She was crowned with this headdress, which really shows her authority, and on her neck is this sort of pendant, this necklace, which says something about her status. Hers was an important voice in the life of the ancient Egyptians, and it is certainly a noble thing for any culture, including the Egyptians, to seek after wisdom, to try to discern what is the wise voice versus the foolish voice. And as you read through the Bible, when it mentions the wisdom tradition of its neighbors, like Israel's neighbors, it speaks of those traditions with respect. But when you get to talking about false gods or priests or magic or something like that, then the Bible's sort of way of talking about those other traditions, it immediately turns towards scorn, that those other gods and goddesses and false prophets, etc., were actually leading people ultimately towards foolishness, towards small g gods that basically demand and demand and take and take, and in the end, try to take a person's very life. There's only one God who gives and gives and gives and offers life to all who will listen, and that is Yahweh. Whenever you see his name in the Old Testament, it's just capital L-O-R-D. So as you read through the biblical narrative, time and time again, when Yahweh speaks, people better listen. And it keeps showing us how his wisdom is true and it is higher than all others. That's why, with all the wisdom in Egypt, it is a man by the name of Joseph who gets lifted up because he follows Yahweh, and he becomes this high and important person, this wise person in that culture. It's why in all of Babylon, the guy who gets lifted up is a guy by the name of Daniel, who worships Yahweh and listens to the voice of Yahweh. It is why of all the kings of Arabia and all the surrounding places like Edom, it is Solomon who is raised up as the wisest man to ever live. And he, when he would speak, was considered to be so wise that people would come from all around to listen to what it was that he had to say. And what he said was, if you want wisdom, if you want to be truly, truly wise, then you must start with knowing, well, Yahweh. C.S. Lewis says it like this in Mere Christianity. He said, in God you come up against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself. Unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God at all. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people, and of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. There's a scene in the movie Rudy, which is about this young guy who tries to work his way onto the Notre Dame football team, and he is just kind of run into a number of different obstacles in his life. And so in order to find answers, he goes to this old Catholic church and he's sort of sitting there and he's kind of talking to God and he's just asking God all these big why questions. And this kindly older priest comes up to him and sits down and begins to ask him what he's doing there and talk to him a little bit about prayer. And as they're talking, Rudy asks him this question, and the priest replies with this really kind of cute but poignant way. He says, "Son, in 35 years of religious studies, I have come up with only two incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I'm not him." And then he pats Rudy on the knee, and he gets up, and he walks away. "There is a God who gives true wisdom, but it isn't Mott, it isn't Mammon, and it certainly isn't the voice of foolishness. It is Yahweh. So then we must listen to his voice, not the voice of fools." Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear, my son, hear, my son." Instead of me reading this whole thing to you, we actually have a couple other people who are going to read our text for the day. So let's listen to them.
"Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks."
How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster."
This starts with a father saying, "Hear, my son," or "Listen, my son." He is probably in his home with his son, and he is trying to give instruction about which voice to be listening to. Not the voice of fools, but the voice of wisdom. And then the second half of this is actually Lady Wisdom herself giving a speech kind of out in the city square, where she is talking and she's really calling out primarily to the foolish ones. And she's also saying, "Hey, you need to listen to me." Well, did you catch what the father said right at the beginning? He says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Did you hear that? He said, "Hey, if you want to be crowned with real splendor, have real life, have real symbols of prestige and all of that, then you need to listen not to some Greek god or some Greek or Egyptian goddess, not to Mammon, not even to the fools that might be living around you in your life. You need to beware of the wrong kinds of voices because they will pull you in the wrong directions. Instead, you need to heed the voice of wisdom. And this theme, the call of foolishness versus the call of wisdom, this goes throughout, well, really the whole book of the Proverbs. And you're going to see this time and time again as we work through it. So today, I want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about what does a fool sound like? Like, what is the voice of a fool really like? So that we can avoid careening into the rocks. And then I want to ask us, well, then what does the voice of wisdom sound like? So first, let's start with what the voice of a fool sounds like. So what does a fool sound like? Well, five things, five different phrases or words that we find in Proverbs 1 to describe what fools sound like. The first one is a tempter. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. The first words used to describe the voice is a sinner's enticement. Now, entice is this word that's connected to opening up or showing new paths. What we need to realize is that foolishness sells. It recruits. It tempts. It doesn't announce itself and says, hey, I'm really foolish over here. Because if it did that, nobody would listen. But instead, foolishness markets itself. Now, we talked about this a few years ago. But in the very first story, the first human beings who are in this perfect place and have an opportunity to really walk in wisdom, they are approached by a serpent. Now, we would think that a serpent would attack human beings and pose a danger through biting the human beings. But this is not what the serpent does. Instead, the serpent actually speaks to the human beings and begins to just say these really kind of sweet, poisonous things to try to tempt them to consider going in a different way. And he speaks just the right words to them. Did God really say, he says, just take a little bit of a taste here. And I think I've used this illustration before, but if you're to open up a piano and sing into it, whatever note you sing, there would be a string in there, which is that same note that begins to vibrate. And that's a little bit like what the serpent is doing. He's singing, he's enticing, he's tempting, and something in them begins to vibrate and begins to resonate with exactly what he's saying. And he didn't show up with like a warning label to announce himself. He didn't say, hey, I'm a scary serpent. No, he sold himself, his idea. He marketed it, he enticed. He didn't announce, he sold. Now, if the voice of fools came with a warning label, as I mentioned, we would be able to avoid it. But as it is, some of us hear this warning and it sounds a little bit silly, like maybe one of these products that have these sort of ridiculous warnings on them. I found one for a hairdryer that said, do not use while sleeping. Do not use while sleeping, as if that's even possible. Or this one for a chainsaw, which has a lovely picture with it, which says, do not hold the wrong end of the chainsaw. And then it shows fingers kind of all kind of messed up. And then this last one for an iPod Shuffle, which some of you don't even know what that is. But one of the warnings is, do not eat it. Which again, we hear warnings like that. And to us, they sound utterly ridiculous because we don't think of those things as real threats to us. We think, psh, I would never fall for that. I would never eat an iPod Shuffle, which hopefully you wouldn't ever eat an iPod Shuffle. But apparently somebody would. Somebody has grabbed the wrong side of a chainsaw before. Someone has attempted to put the dryer on and then go to sleep next to it. Like, it has happened. And just because it doesn't seem particularly tempting to us doesn't mean that there isn't some temptation that could, in fact, capture us or entice us. There's this story in the Old Testament about a guy named Esau who gives up his birthright for a bowl of stew. And when you read that story, you hear this where you think, a bowl of stew? Like, why would anybody give up anything for a bowl of stew? And yet, every one of us has a bowl of stew. It has a thing that is so tempting to us, whether it's drinking too much or overeating or it's greed or it's sexual in nature, whatever it is. All of us have these things, these temptations that certain people in our lives might be pushing us toward, and it could take us down just as easily as a bowl of stew took down Esau. And so we need to avoid fools that tempt us toward the very things that we know are wrong. It's like a siren song where you know I shouldn't listen to it, and yet it draws you towards danger. So what does the voice of a fool sounds like? Well, sounds like a tempter. Second thing it sounds like that we see in here is it sounds like a killer. Notice a big section of what the father says is really about violence. This is what he says in verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. And he goes on. He says, my son, in verse 15, do not walk in the way of them. Hold back your foot from their paths. Foolishness sells. It also kills. A big part of what these voices are saying is, let's lie in wait for this person. Let's get him, you know? And for some of us, there may be a very real temptation or struggle that we have with daydreaming or considering violent retaliation against someone. Like maybe there's an ex, or there's a rival of some sort, or maybe even a neighbor about whom you daydream of like harming them or something bad happening to them. And this warning right here by this father ought to be something that is very direct to us. Do not daydream about somebody's downfall. Do not think if you could just get rid of them, everything would be better. Do not think, oh, it's only them that's ruining this. When we get into that mindset of violent thinking, especially if there's people around us fanning those flames, we need to beware, because the voice of foolishness sounds often like a killer. Now, for some of us, lying in wait to beat somebody up, it may not be a daily temptation for us. Like, in my work environment, I'm not regularly thinking about, okay, which co-pastor could I beat up, right? Like, I'm not thinking about all of them, by the way. No, just kidding. I'm not thinking about that, really. But I do have to wrestle with the fact that we live in a violent, angry time, and I can become overly angry at times as well. I can get caught up in character assassinations or cutthroat financial or academic dealings or social media tirades or daydreaming about revenge. All of us have a type of bloodlust in our hearts that, with the right sort of voices speaking into us, can stir that stuff up, and we must be careful. If there's somebody saying to you, hey, they owe you, you should make them pay, or you shouldn't be treated that way, or they're ruining your family, or think about how much better things would be. That sounds like the voice of a fool. The voice of a fool sounds like violence. And Solomon says, warning, do not listen to that voice. Don't get caught up in it. Don't think that that's going to solve anything with rage and shortcuts. Do not call for blood, or you'll only end up getting your own. It's a little bit like Ralphie in the Christmas Story, where he wants this BB gun, and yet he's warned, oh, this thing's going to shoot your eye out. And sure enough, at the end of the film, when he finally gets it, and he's imagining Black Bart, and he shoots it, and it comes back right at him, and it almost does, in fact, shoot out his eye. The rest of this father's speech, he just keeps talking about, hey, listen, if you listen to violent fools, it will come back and harm you. So what does the voice of a fool sound like? Well, it sounds like a tempter. Sounds like a killer, if you will. It also sounds like a simpleton. So the father uses those couple of phrases. As we get into wisdom speech for the second half of this chapter, we see that wisdom uses three more words, if you will. So there's our five, to describe what fools sound like. And the first thing it mentions is a simpleton. Look at verse 22 in the first half. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Wisdom calls them simple ones. Now, this phrase here really isn't just like, oh, you're simple in your living. Like, you don't need a lot of things. No, this means somebody who is overly simple and refuses to think about deep things. They shut down on hard conversations. You know, anything that is challenging, like thinking about faith, I don't want to think about that. Or politics, I can't even deal with that. Or their future, or their health, or their relationships. I don't want to deal with any of that. That's somebody who would be a simpleton. You try to have a conversation with them about maybe a loved one whose health is rapidly fading, and quickly they just say, I just can't talk about it. I can't deal with this right now. And then they don't deal with it ever. That they're being overly simple. Or you talk to them after they've had another breakup and you say, what went wrong? And they say, I don't know. Let's just go get a drink somewhere. Sounds like every country song you've ever heard, right? Like that's somebody being overly simple. Or they make terrible financial choices, one after another. And you say, hey, maybe you shouldn't, you know, buy a fourth boat. You should save for retirement. And they, hey man, I just want to live. You know, I know my financial advisor says this, but I just want to live. Or they're walking away from their faith. And you ask them, hey, what's going on? And they say, well, I have these other friends, you know, and they're like so real, and everybody at church is fake. And I mean, that's a simpleton. That is somebody who is not thinking deeply about some very important things. And the voice of the fool sounds overly simple when it comes to important things. So what does the voice of a fool sound like? Well, tempter, a killer, a simpleton, what else? Well, look at the second half of 22. It also sounds like a mocker. Wisdom says, how long will scoffers delight in their scolding and fools hate knowledge? Fools sound like mockers. Now, I am a sucker for stand-up comedians. There is something about seeing somebody with just a microphone on a stage with nothing else holding an audience wrapped in attention. Go figure, I would think that was interesting, right? But anytime there are comedians who talk about kind of their craft and how they figure out a joke and how they phrase it just right and where these things come from, I'm always interested. I wanna listen to kind of the behind the scenes stuff on these comedians. And this one time I was listening to a comedian named Jimmy Fallon, who many of you know, he's a late night talk show host. And he was talking about his version of comedy. And as he was being interviewed, he said something that I thought was kind of poignant. He said, you know what, I've always tried to create jokes where everybody who heard it was in on the joke. Meaning, I wanted to tell a joke that wasn't singling somebody out and mocking them so much as like bringing us all together and like lifting up the mood. I want to tell things that gather people together as opposed to pointing somebody out. Now, I love that, and as you watch him perform, you can see that that's really what he does. He is not somebody who drips with cruel sarcasm or tears down people. He has a tendency to do it a little bit differently. Well, when Wisdom speaks, she warns of those who are mockers or scoffers, those who think that they're so much smarter than everybody else, and they kind of look down on others, and they sort of point other people out, and they make fun of it and whatever. And I feel like in this kind of educated sort of town where we have a big university, that this sarcastic, mocking tone is a siren song that is ever present. There are people in this city who won't even pay attention to or give any regard to somebody with less of an education, or who think that there is something particularly special about living in the city versus the country, or having a northern Midwestern accent versus a deep southern accent, or having a white-collar job versus a blue-collar job. There's a lot in this city, a lot of folks who are kind of bought into this idea of, oh, we, regardless of what school they went to, we are the leaders and the best, right? We are the ones who know, and we're so over all these old-fashioned ideas about modesty and, you know, on and on and on and on. Well, many folks never stop to listen and consider and realize that chokmah, real wisdom, does not begin with a degree. It begins with the fear of the Lord. There can be tremendous wisdom in people in every field of work, with people with all different kinds of accents who live in cities or live in the country or whatever. There is wisdom there if we start with bending our knee to Yahweh and not becoming dismissive and scornful towards other people, our parents, our churches, all of that. We need to beware of listening to those that always act like they're the smartest ones in the room and just mock everything else. The voice of a fool sounds like a mocker. It also sounds obstinate. The voice of a fool sounds obstinate. And this is the fifth and last one here. Verse 24, because I have called and you refuse to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one is heeded, and it goes on. So as wisdom begins to talk about what this fool is like, they say this fool is like a person who refuses to listen to the truth. They say things like, I don't have to listen to you, and they plug their ears and they run away when anybody tries to correct them. They refuse to believe that they might be dead wrong about anything. Listen, I have a newsflash for you. You are likely dead wrong about any number of things, and you're definitely dead wrong about something. And so every one of us needs to be confronted at times and corrected. Only a fool slams their door and says, I won't listen to this. Only a fool says, come on, we don't have to listen. Let's get out of here. Only a fool is a person who's like an employee who gets a less than stellar a job review from their boss. And instead of trying to improve, they just go, I'm going to keep doing what I do. And then they go badmouth their boss to everyone else. Only a fool doesn't listen to their dietitian or their doctor when they say, you really need to do this. And they, whatever, I don't need to. Doesn't listen to their financial planner. I'm going to go get that other boat that my friend was warning me about, right? Like only a fool plugs their ears, go la, 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 and runs around. Because the voice of a fool sounds incredibly obstinate. They just refuse to listen. What does the voice of a fool sound like? Well, it sounds like a tempter. Sounds like a killer. Sounds like a simpleton. Sounds like a mocker. It sounds like one who's very obstinate. And there's this dangerous call when those are the voices that we hear drawing us towards rocks that we may not even see but are just below the surface. And so Solomon warns against listening to the voice of folly. But wisdom, we find out, is crying out. Wisdom goes out among the people and calls like a woman's voice that has a kind of a high soprano tone that just sort of cuts through all the other noise. Wisdom is there calling also. So we need to ask this question, what then does wisdom sound like? In verse 32, he says, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Wisdom asks this question, hey, why is nobody listening to me? Why are you running around and being obstinate? Why are you running around and mocking everybody? Why are you running around saying, I don't want to think too deeply, man? Why are you doing that when I am here? You are going to find nothing but destruction and doubt and destroyed relationships. You are going to find emptiness everywhere you go. And yes, there will be a moment where you will be sitting in jail, or you will be audited, or you'll be sitting amongst the ashes of another relationship you just burned to the ground. And at that point, you're going to go, man, I wish I'd made different decisions, or I wish I was wise. But you will already have crashed into the rocks, in a manner of speaking. And wisdom says, listen, you need to hear me. Don't ignore me, or you will end up with the results of your foolishness. You will be another fool that bites the dust. You'll become another footnote, another cautionary tale. God is calling to you through wisdom, and yet you are just demanding your own way. And in the end, as C.S. Lewis once said, he said, there are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, thy will be done. If you ignore the voice of wisdom, you will get trouble and madness and anger and blood, and it will ultimately be your own. And yet you might be saying, okay, fine, I'll listen. But what does the voice of wisdom sound like? In the Gospel of John, there is this miracle where Jesus heals a man who was born blind. And it's an awesome story. But this guy goes, and these religious leaders are brought in to kind of check him out and try to figure out what just happened. And as you read about what the religious leaders said and kind of what their attitudes were, what you see is all the signs of foolishness from Proverbs 1. Yes, they are very well educated, but in some ways their thinking is overly simplistic about what's going on here. And also, they threaten. They threaten this man, his family, ultimately Jesus, so they're violent. And also, they mock. And also, they're obstinate. I mean, they're basically all of these things are these guys, these religious leaders. And eventually, a couple of them go to Jesus, and they begin to question Jesus. And Jesus kind of talks to them, and they're like, wait, are you saying that we can't see the truth here? And he's like, no, you said it. I didn't say it, but I mean, yeah. And then Jesus starts to talk about himself. And there's this little bit longer section that he says, but I just want to read this one chunk of it. And this is John 10, 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And as he goes on, he talks about how the sheep know his voice. Do you know what wisdom sounds like? It sounds exactly like Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Not some God who says, oh, you need to give and give and give and give, and then in the end, I'm going to take your life. Not some professor who's just like, oh, they're just scornful and mocking. Not some fool who doesn't want to think about anything. That's not what the voice of wisdom sounds like. The voice of wisdom sounds like a good shepherd who protects and is willing to lay his own life down for his sheep. It sounds exactly like Jesus. And Jesus is calling to you today. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to treat you like Maat, that Egyptian goddess, or Mammon, or some fool. I'm not going to hold some cosmic gun at you and wait for you to mess up. You've already messed up, and I want you anyway. I'm not here to take your blood. I'm here to offer my own. I will lay down my life so that you can walk with me in true wisdom. Jesus is the God who opens his arm and says, hey, it's finished. Just follow me. Just follow me. Today, some of us have listened to so much foolish noise that we have not heard the call of Jesus to us. It's as if our lives have become so noisy with everything else, the din of the crowded street, that we haven't to this point really heard that Jesus wants us. But he does. There's a reason why you're listening to this right now. It's because Jesus has been nudging you and calling. Maybe you didn't even realize he's been calling you to this moment. He's been asking you to trust him, that he is the type of God who will lay down his life, who will forgive you, who will offer you the good life, the truly good life that will never end. Jesus is calling today, so listen to him. Now, I know there's others of us who we have listened to Jesus' voice. We're all in, you know, in terms of like our beliefs, like I believe, right? But we're a little bit like Odysseus. We have been tied securely to the grace of Jesus. And yet, the truth is we're still listening to all the siren songs in our culture. And I don't just mean that we're like open-minded and thoughtful. I mean, we've surrounded ourselves with foolish voices that are working on us and still trying to draw us to dangerous places. We have begun to drift a little bit, even in our own hearts. Do you know when a person like leaves their faith, right? Do you know what ultimately or often is the beginning of their leaving of the faith? I think we think that it's probably some like massive philosophical question and issue that they're just wrestling with. I mean, that can be part of the story. Or it's some really profound mystical experience, you know. Or it's something along those lines. But that's not actually the case. Usually, what happens when someone ends up walking away from their faith is that they start by listening to too many foolish voices. They just surround themselves with too many simpleton friends. They begin to listen to the temptations of their flesh. They begin to sit under the teaching of scornful teachers. They become obstinate in their hearts. And it's really about the siren song, that when you hear it enough, it's going to draw any of us towards danger. We have been given an opportunity to learn from Proverbs 1 which voices we should be listening to. So, who have you given ear to? What are the voices regularly speaking into you? Are they cable news talkers? Are those the voices that are regularly speaking into you? Because much of that is foolishness. Is it pop culture influencers? Is that who it is? Because much of that is foolishness. Is it scornful philosophers? Much of that is foolishness. Which voices are you listening to? We must beware of listening to the wrong voices. And we must have people in our lives that can point out the dangers of those voices to us, that can see my bowl of stew more clearly than I can, that can see the rocks under the water that maybe I can't. So who is it that you have in your life with whom you are in continual conversation that you will allow to speak into your life and to confront you when you're beginning to move in a foolish direction? I read this description on the difference between folly or foolishness and wisdom, and it described the two as being poison versus being fire. And it said, foolishness is poison because it's always dangerous. If you partake in foolishness in any way, it will harm you every single time. Now, fire is incredibly powerful and it's useful. If you mishandle it or you ignore it, the results can be catastrophic. But used in the right way, it can bring life. So let's not dabble in listening to the voices of foolishness that are all around. Instead, let's attune our ears to wisdom, which sounds exactly like Jesus.